AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
I like that one's gotten a permanent spot in the rotation there, Davis.
Well, and, you know, most people don't realize, if you listen closely, there's cowbell in there. It's in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's there.
Absolutely there is. All right, thanks. Well, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip, that's Davis.
Ew.
Alan Hoskins is president of American Farm Mortgage, and he joins us right now. Alan, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Chip, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. Alan, I'm telling you, there's some stuff that's been weighing on my mind as I try to figure out what the impacts of the current environment, what the impacts of higher interest rates, the actions by the Fed, they've been weighing on my mind, and I can't think of anybody better to talk through it with than you. And it has been a long time since farmers have had to deal with or manage rising interest rates. What impacts are you noticing out there?
Well, you know, obviously, Chip, we're getting a lot of questions and getting a lot of queries about where do you think interest rates are going? How high are they going to go? There's a lot of uncertainty. One of the things that I would kind of ask that people keep in mind, if you go back to when the prime rate was established, mm-hmm. we're only 10 basis points under the average of prime rate since it came into effect in December of 47. Okay. It's just that we've become accustomed to an environment that was arbitrarily low. And even if you go back to recent history, if you go back to January 1 of 2020, or pardon me, 2000, yep. we are 1.5% above the average over that period. But we had two, what I would call black swan events in that. We had the 2008 financial meltdown and we had COVID. And, you know, that drove rates down to 3.25%, which is an arbitrarily, pardon me, a very low figure yeah. compared to history. So where we are is not completely out of line with history. It's just a shock to our systems.
Exactly.
Because we're yeah. so accustomed to these low rates.
Right, right. It's the simple fact that that farmers are having to deal with the rising interest rates that changes mm-hmm. a lot of the dynamics out there. And mm-hmm. it takes a different kind of management, doesn't it?
It does, Chip. It does. It takes discussions with your yep. service providers. It takes discussions with your lender to try to figure out how best to navigate it. Don't try to do it on your own. Reach out for some thoughts of others. Ultimately, the producer makes the final decision. But Chip, there's still some options out there for folks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they need to, that's another thing that they need to understand. It's not desperate times. It's manageable times. It just takes a little bit of different management. The other concern that I've got right now is, boy, coming out of Jackson Hole, Fed Chairman Powell just changed his rhetoric, changed his mm-hmm. messaging mm-hmm. to create a concern in for me that the Fed is going to overshoot on this, that they're going to overcorrect. Do you think that's a risk?
Certainly that is a risk. You know, I don't know exactly where things are going to end up. You know, I don't know what things that we hear are merely white noise. But I think it's certainly something that people can utilize and start managing their risk in a different manner than they have over the past decade, particularly. Yep. You know, how do we best put people in a position to weather some higher rates over whatever term that may be? But there are ways to do it.
Okay. Is the ag industry in solid enough or stable enough conditions to, use your word, to weather an overcorrection by the Fed?
You know, Chip, if you look at financial statements coming out of the 2021 crop year, they were very strong. Working capital positions were good. We saw profitability that was at a very good level. We saw strong cash flows. Now, one thing to remember of that, if you go back to 2021, PPP and governmental money added, in many cases, substantial amounts to farmers' bottom line. I saw a couple personally that you were looking at about 38 to 40% of a producer's revenue that came out of those figures. So it really behooves producers to understand where the revenue comes from and understand their numbers so that we can help them manage these times that we're dealing with.
Okay. Now, you know, when you look back at the 80s, we had a farm crisis, but it really became devastating when it became a financial crisis as well for the rural banks. Rural banks, ag lenders, are they in a position where we can handle an overcorrection by the Fed?
Well, I think if you look at the data that's out there relative to the financial condition of banks, I'll speak to that first. There's a lot of data that says that the agricultural lending industry, and obviously that includes more than banks in today's world, let's be honest. But from the banking perspective, there's a lot of data out there that talks about the strength that presently exists within the banking industry. Now, you said something that I think is also worthy of discussion there, because there's banking industry and then there's ag lenders.
Yep.
One of the things, Chip, that candidly is different today than what we saw in the mid-1980s. In the mid-1980s, you had a lot of bankers that had on-farm experience because many of them were farmers and many of them were long-term ag bankers. So they were accustomed to seeing some of the challenges that arose. In today's world, that's not always the case. There's been a fair percentage, if you will, of ag bankers that have retired over the last few years. Mm-hmm. And the firsthand knowledge that was there in the 1980s, in some cases, is not as prevalent today.
Right.
Some of your smaller community banks, you still see a lot of that. But we know the banking industry has changed dramatically. So some of that knowledge is not necessarily as intricate as it was in the 1980s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for the people that are retiring or have retired over the last 5 years or so, the 80s was part of their DNA. They were going to do everything that they possibly could to prevent that from happening. And they did a really nice job of it. Okay. Alan, I hope I don't sound like a doom and gloomer when I ask this one, but I've got to. So if we do see an overcorrection, to me, that suggests a deflationary period with prices for everything, you know, quote unquote, everything falling, including land prices, including home prices. Is that something that farmers should at least consider when they're making their long-term plans now?
I think, Chip, regardless of the environment, it's always prudent to do that because we are managing risk on a significant level in today's agriculture. So to answer your question directly, yes, that is something that should be considered. I don't think that's a doom and gloom statement at all. I think that's a good business practice statement.
Okay. Do you think it's a legitimate risk? I've been trying to talk myself out of it, Alan.
Chip, one thing I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is I can't predict the future, but I think it's always a good management practice to look at your business and say, what happens if we have a deflationary environment? What does that do if we lose? And I'm not predicting this. I'm just going to use this as a number. What happens if we lose 15% off of land values? candidly, in today's world, what happens if we lose 15 or 20% off equipment values? Because right. look at the composition of ag balance sheets today. Yep. Look at what we've seen on the machinery and equipment side, and look at how large a percentage of net worth many times that equipment factors in to comprising today.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's a big part of the reason why I'm asking the question, Alan. The machinery cost or value on the balance sheets is really something to it's eye opening. It's eye popping at this point. So, Alan, I love your message, and you've been very consistent in this short conversation, but you've been very consistent in this message in all of the conversations that we've had. Just be active in management of your borrowing of your debt, and you can make it through this period. There's no question.
Absolutely. And Chip, the underlying theme that I would say in this message is don't try to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. Use the resources, being the people that you interact with. Use those resources to get thoughts and ideas. Don't feel like you have to come up with all of them. Ultimately, as a producer, you make the final decision and have the final say. But do reach out and get thoughts. And in the case of lenders, have lenders run multiple scenarios for you as a producer and show you the effect that that has on your numbers. Then you have much better data upon which to make a valid decision.
That's fantastic. Alan, it's always good to talk with you, man. You brought a sense of calm to me because, like I said, these things have been weighing on my mind. But active management, it helps to get rid of anxiety on several different levels. Good stuff, my friend. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you, Chip. I appreciate the opportunity.
Excellent, excellent. That is Alan Hoskins, president of American Farm Mortgage. Davis and I will be back to wrap up today's AgriTalk in a moment.